Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, encounter us right now. Holy Spirit, encounter us where we're at right now. Speak through my lips. You have a word that you want said, Father. Let it not return back void as your word declares it. That it's so good seed that it would change us forevermore into your image, Father. That we be about, just as you said, Jesus, I'm about my Father's business. That we would be about your business, kingdom business, eternal significance, Lord. That we do not waver, that we do not look back like Lot's wife, Lord, but that we look forward to the promise and the coming of you. Have your will in your way right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, having not my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That verse never gets old.
Not at all.
We're going to close out in 1 Peter chapter 2 today. So let's turn there and we'll read together through the chapter. Remember, Jesus Christ, our living hope, and you're called to be holy, for the Lord God is holy.
Amen.
And he says in verse 1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire or crave the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what we just did. That's what we just did as we sang praises to him. Spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Just a note there. To you who believe, he is precious. There's times when you feel a little off. But I pray that as the word says, that you would grow. And as you grow to know him more, you understand the change that's happened in your life and how precious he truly is in your life. It's like the person who first comes to Christ, and they don't necessarily know wrong, but then as they grow in the word, they get convicted.
That's right.
They get convicted with things that they've done in the past, and it doesn't sit well with them because something has taken over their life. Something has taken residency in their heart, and it's precious. It's Christ. So therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. So, beloved, I beg you as sojourners, as pilgrims, as aliens, however you want to word it, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul,
right,
having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, among the pagans, among the non-believers, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, underline that. Glorify God in the day of salvation or day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. I mean, submit to your local authorities, church, as Christians. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free men and women, yet not using your freedom or your liberty as a cloak for a vice, but as bondservants for God, because you love your master. Honor all people, not just believers, all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. We equated that today's world to be submissive in your workplace. People who have authority over you, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh.
That's right.
For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable to God. See, if you're doing wrong and you're suffering for it, you got your just due. But if you're suffering for doing good and you are being persecuted for that, that is commendable to God. You didn't waver. For to this you were called. For to this you were called. So doing good, when you do good and suffer, it's commendable to God. For to this you were called.
That's right.
Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Shadow step. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter really drives this point home of suffering throughout the entire coming chapters, particularly 4, 1 Peter 4, some of it in 3. He's well acquainted. He is well acquainted with being treated unfairly and suffering for Christ. Remember, they were beaten in the book of Acts. That's why we read through Acts. And he would soon, shortly after writing these letters, would soon be executed for his faith, suffering for Christ. So he really sums this up in the chapter. If you're living holy, if you are living holy and doing good deeds, and you suffer, you have an opportunity to bear witness for Christ through your behavior. So how do we do this as believers? I have a 4-point message today. The point number one, and pause. Point number one, follow in his steps. Follow in his steps. We are to walk in his steps, such as that song, Shadow Step. You think about this big casting shadow, where it goes, I will step and lead. I will where he leads me, right? It's like the light unto my path, right? I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk where he leads me. Wherever he leads, there I will go. Unlike Jonah, who turned around and went the other way, right? You and I are called to the same purpose as Christ. We are to walk the same path. Jesus explained that very clearly, and we studied this. Mark 8, 34-38. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, if you're ashamed of Jesus and his words, in this adulterous and sinful generation of him, the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Be not ashamed, church. You'll be ridiculed for standing in your faith. Be not ashamed.
That's right.
Of the gospel and its truth. See, if we live as Christ had lived, if we live holy, and we live according to the word that's on there, obedience, right?
Yes.
We will be treated unfairly. We will suffer unjustly. Some degrees to others, higher or lower. But if we respond to that suffering as Jesus did, people will what? They will see Jesus in us.
Amen.
John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he may increase. And that's just a reminder that many we encounter do not know the story of the gospel. They don't know the story of the gospel. They don't read devotionals. They don't read the book on your lap. But they do watch us. We talked about that last week. They do watch you. They watch your story. What are you portraying? What station are you showing? They see how you live your life. They see how I live my life. Are you living to gain the whole world, or are you living according to his words, not being ashamed? If the result, then you will not be ashamed, and your life is commendable to God. If you are not ashamed to live obedience and live a holy life according to his word. So people watch your life. How are you living? Worldly or Christ-like? It's a question you constantly have to ask yourself. What am I portraying? What am I portraying? And there's times when you are going to be worldly. And that's an opportunity to repent. You know, I missed the mark on that one. I missed the mark on that one. I got to do better. I got to do better. I got to get back right. You know, take that as an opportunity to grow in your faith. Be obedient. Thank God that the Holy Spirit chastises you.
Amen.
Thank God the Holy Spirit chastises you, correct you, and go that way. He's trying to build you up. You're not going to be perfect in this life. I guarantee you, there's only one who was perfect, and he suffered unjustly. Amen. Okay? You're not going to be perfect. But that doesn't mean you just throw in the towel. That means you look at it and say, you know what, I missed it. I'm going to try better. I'm going to do better, Lord. Let me learn from this. Let me not go back to the mud. Point number two, Christ the example. Peter says, who committed no sin, nor deceit was found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Peter was a Jew. Peter knew. He knew the prophecy of Isaiah. And that's what he's referencing here. We just read Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And out of the root of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Think about that. Just that little line right there. There's no beauty that we should desire him. Like, the world looks at Jesus and that life, and it's not desirable. Suffering?
Yeah.
That's why there's another gospel being preached.
It's true.
You come to Jesus, you can have it all. And Jesus too. Sounds like right out of the garden, doesn't it? You can be as God. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isn't that what we just talked about before service started?
Yeah.
He's acquainted. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to his slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, not all, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. He was the veil. Jesus was sinless. He was sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ is the example. He is the example. He had no deceit in his mouth. He didn't lie and say, you know what, let me get out of this. How can I bend the truth so I don't have to face the cross? How can I twist words? That's Satan. That's what Satan did. He twists the words. Jesus had no deceit in his mouth. That's referencing in Isaiah 53. He did not revile. He did not attack. He did not retaliate in return. He did not threaten. He didn't threaten his accusers. He stands on his truth, and he stood and he took what was coming his way. He did not retaliate, though he very well could have. Matthew 26, 52 through 53, this is in the garden. Jesus said, put your sword in its place to Peter, right? For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you not think I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? We are talking about the Creator, the one who spoke the world into light from nothing. He could have stood up for his own rights. At his word, he could have summoned a garrison of angels, and he would have turned Jerusalem and Golgotha to a wasteland. He could have very well done that. And how many of us would have? What did he do? He acted redemptively. He acted redemptively. So contrary to what the world says.
That's right.
You're wronged. You need to take retaliation on that person. You get yours, right? It was not about his own rights. It was about his Father's will. Amen. It was about his Father's will. And ultimately, his Father's will was you and I.
Yes.
It was you and I. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards it. What is it? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You and I were his will. Mankind was his will.
Amen.
Jesus submitted to the Father's will. He submitted and entrusted himself to God, the righteous judge. It's not about taking vengeance. It wasn't about it. It wasn't about like that person wronged me. You. Yeah, you're all gonna pay now. No, it was about compassion. It was compassion for those who were lost. What does the sign say? Loving people back to life. Win the lost at any cost. Right. That was his mission. People were on his mind. His entire mission. On the cross, church. We remember what he did. On the cross, the most excruciating, painful moments of his entire life, the worst suffering a man could encounter. Every time he would lift up himself just to get a gasp of air. That's what happens. Your body, you need to raise yourself up. And each time the hands and the feet that were pierced for you and I, he's leaning up to take a breath, rubbing his scourge back against the beam. Can you picture it? He followed his mission to the end. He followed his mission to the end. While he was on the cross,
right,
while he was nailed to a cross, he thought of you and I. He thought of others. Mary, behold thy son. John, behold thy mother. Someone needs to take care of her. I'm going away. What else? The thief?
Yeah.
In the middle of the most excruciating pain of his entire life, one was mocking him. Aren't you the Messiah? Can't you throw yourself down and save us too? He was mocking him. He was mocking him. But Jesus' mission was still on point. He saved the one this day. That the man could look over and see that he was suffering unjustly. That he was who he says he was. He recognized it. How many recognize that? When you're standing, when the gospel stands us right in the face and you see the Messiah looking at the cross and he says, you know, no, we deserve our just punishment. This man was innocent. Remember me when you go in your kingdom. And he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. His mission did not waver. The crowd mocking him. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He thought of you and I on the cross. We will suffer unjustly in this life if we are to live like Christ. You are not to react in vengeance, but compassion. For the person that is persecuting you is lost. They are lost. You have to realize that. As soon as you put on the lens of Christ and you look at it and say, and you look back and say, you know what? I understand now. Look at it as that person. That person is lost to an eternal damnation. I need to pray for that person. Paul says exactly, behave like a Christian. Chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love and honor giving, preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer, disturbing to the needs of saints, given to hospitality. Jesus was steadfast. Who was he praying to? Father, forgive them. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Jesus was humble. The humble servant, Isaiah 53. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. There it is. It's awesome how the same message is right there. Paul's writing it. What we just read about in Peter. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Not you. Not you. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Good. persecuting. Let me pray for you. Let me love on you.
Amen.
It sounds mamby-pamby, but it's not. Jesus was not mamby-pamby. The point is, if we are to be like Christ, it is not about you. It's not about your rights. It is Christ in you. Therefore, it is about others. Loving the lost. Until the Father says, no more time, son. It's time to return as the lion. Till then, the Lamb who was slain has given us his grace. And we should share that very same grace that redeemed us with others. It is amazing grace. And at the end, our living hope is in Christ, not in our life, not in our things, not in what the world has to offer. Our living hope is in Christ. Say, our living hope is in Christ. And because you live for him, we know that God will right all wrongs. May not happen here on this earth, folks, but at the end, you entrust yourself to God, the righteous judge. Point number three, Christ our substitute, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It was at Calvary. It was where the two beams intersected, and right in the middle was where? Jesus' heart. Jesus' heart right in the middle. It is here at the cross where sin would be conquered. The cross confronts the very reality that we are all lost and gone astray. Sin existed and we had a debt that we owed. That is why the cross is offensive. It's offensive to others because people don't like to be told that they are wrong. They don't like their sin exposed. Romans 1. They are not God. It goes all the way back to the lie in the garden, right? That we could be as God. We are lost and our good deeds aside from Christ are as filthy rags. Peter actually breaks this down. I love how he says that he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Deuteronomy 21 verses 22 through 23 says, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death and he is put to death, you hang him on a tree. You hang him on a tree. That tree was our just penalty.
That's right.
That is what we deserved.
Yes.
God, who is holy and just, cannot accept sin. The debt has to be paid, and oh, but Jesus. But Jesus bore our sins in his body on that tree. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him no sin to be for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All sin will be judged. All. All sin will be judged. Either your sin is on you and you will deserve and receive your just penalty, an eternity in hell, separation from God forever, or your sin is on Christ, who when he said, it is finished, tetelestai, paid your debt in full. You know what else is pretty cool? It being complete. Jesus' wounds, we were healed, we're complete. What is God's number of completeness? It's 7. The crowns on his head, the scourging on his back, foot, hand, pierced his side. 7 wounds, the completeness of Christ on the cross. How awesome. How awesome is that? It is finished. Your debt is paid in full. You just have to receive the gift of his payment. You must have faith in Christ to be delivered from this penalty of sin. Romans 5:1-11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not that only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Who was given to us? The Holy Spirit. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We have now received reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, Christ our substitute. Point number four. Christ, our shepherd. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter ties us all the way back again to Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We were lost. We were lost. And we followed our own lust and desires. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Sheep gone astray. Sheep gone astray. That is the power of sin in one's life. It creates more desire to walk according to this world than the pride of life. However, Christ dying on the cross, a perfect spotless lamb, he was a sinless man, executed on our behalf, and then he rose from the grave. As a result of him raising from the grave, sin has no more dominion or power over to those who are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
You, your old self, was baptized, was buried with Christ on the cross, and you are now raised a new creature in Christ through the power of his resurrection. That's why you must know him through his suffering and the power of his resurrection. You must understand the power that exists in your life. Romans 6, 2 through 14. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in the newness of life, child of God.
Amen.
For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Your old self died, folks. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, if we died in Christ, we believe also that we all shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Once.
Amen.
Once. Right. Death no longer has dominion over him. He conquered the grave.
Right.
For death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. You are now a bondservant to God. Likewise, you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Sounds a lot like holiness Amen. To me. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace, which is God's empowering presence for you to do and be what you cannot do and be on your own. You could not be holy for nothing pre-Christ.
That's right.
But now, beloved, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised you from the dead, that raised Christ from the dead, resides in you, and you are a new creature. Sin has no more power over you unless you let it. What do you do? What do you do? Colossians 3, 1 through 7. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Amen. Sounds like kingdom. Sounds like eternity. Sounds like eternal significance. Sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, not on the world. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, hallelujah, then you also will appear with him in glory. The trumpet's going to sound, folks. And if you are in him, you will be with him.
Amen.
Therefore, because of that, because you've been purchased on the auction block, because you are a new creature in Christ, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The bulls, the trumpets, that is the wrath of God being poured out on all mankind, the sons of disobedience. Be about your Father's business. Even if you save one, I made it before, you saved one from an eternity of hell. You once walked according to those things, but Jesus saved you. You should be telling the world about it. So if we walk after Christ, we walk according to the Spirit who resides in you and I, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and we are separated from the penalty of sin and the power of sin in our life. We must therefore choose to obey God rather than our old sinful nature and our flesh. By obeying, we are like sheep looking to our shepherd for care and protection.
Yes.
Christ is our shepherd. Jesus said it. And people didn't understand it. John 10, 7 through 18. Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." How do you get to the Father?
Yeah.
Through Christ. He is the door. He is the door. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Mm. All other gods before.
That's right.
Are thieves and robbers. They desire to sift you.
Right.
But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Amen. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who is just hired to look over the flock, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep.
Mm-hmm. Satan.
Yes, Satan has no care for you.
That's right.
He has no care for others. It's only about him. That's the message of the world. Mm-hmm. It's about you. What can you get in this world? I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. I am known by my own. Do you know him? Do you know him? As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's the fold of the Gentiles in with the Jews.
That's right.
Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Mm-hmm. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself.
Right.
I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus was saying it. People didn't realize it. This circles all the way back around to it, that Christ gave his life freely. He gave his life freely. He did not serve himself, but was a chief servant to mankind, sheep who have gone astray. As a result of him knocking on the door of our heart and our acceptance to him, the door is open to relationship with him, to know him. If we accept and believe in Jesus, we are delivered from the penalty and the power of sin in our life. And Christ, the Good Shepherd, is watching over our souls. Over your soul. The Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
The Good Shepherd is watching over your soul. And as I close, for those of you who are taking notes, the salvation message. I want you to write down these scriptures for those of you taking notes. Some of you know this already. But as you are seeking the Father and you're looking to do his business, how can you sum up the gospel message really in basic truth to someone who is lost, who doesn't know the Bible? It's called the Roman Road of Salvation. And it starts with Romans 3:23. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. The Bible says that sin carries the penalty of death. That's Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says Christ died for sinners because of God's love, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us. He showed and demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says we must call upon the Lord to be saved, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you call upon the name of the Lord? The Bible says that we must confess and believe in Jesus and his resurrection, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So why do you confess with your mouth? Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's a short and simple journey of demonstrating, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. You must point out sin. People have to see where they're in error and that there's a Redeemer, and it's not us, it's Christ. Amen? Christ the substitute, Christ the example, Christ then is the good shepherd overlooking your soul. Amen?
That's right.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word, Lord, that it be changed forevermore, that we would be about your business, that we would look to save others who are lost, that have gone astray. Be with us as we go our separate ways today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.